Those few bars of music are perhaps more recognizable than any ever recorded. If you were playing Name That Tune, you could nail it in 2-3 notes, maybe even one. The song has been covered by hundreds of artists, from Count Basie to Moby. It's almost as recognizable as this.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
You know, the Moby version wasn't bad. And he did a funny video of himself as Bond, karate chopping his way through dozens of Spectre agents in his suit and sneakers, white sneakers. Kudos to Moby for laughing at himself. Since it was first recorded in 1962, it's the undefeated champion of Audio Cool. A lot of cultural icons have come and gone since 1962, and most of them either vanished or became cliches or flipped into uncoolness. They morphed from cool to kooky or campy or outright stupid. Sometimes people or things go full circle, from cool to uncool and back to cool, like Tom Jones, mid-century furniture and googie architecture. Sometimes things go from uncool to cool. That's really uncommon. One example I can think of is Danny Electro Guitars. They were sold through Sears and Montgomery Ward and were considered junk, strictly for kids and hackers. I once played somebody's Dan Electro and it was junk. Feedback and buzz galore. The neck was so poorly finished, you could cut your hands on it. But now, collectors are paying big bucks for them. And I suppose their cheesy designs and build are part of the charm. Maybe with a good setup they play okay, but they've definitely made the trip from crap to cool, even if they are still crap. But some stuff, music, clothing, art, architecture, literature, automobiles, and rarely people, somehow manage to achieve timeless cool, which is the only cool that really matters. And that raises two questions we'll try to answer today. What is timeless cool, and how do you get it? I wrote a book entitled Mac Daddy, Mastering Fatherhood Without Losing Your Style, Your Cool, or Your Mind, and in retrospect, the better subtitle might have been Without Losing Your Cool. How could anyone be cool without style or their mind? Point being, though, that our culture rubber stamps most people, especially male people, as uncool the moment they become parents. And I get that. 007 could never be married or a father. Although George Lazenby was married on Her Majesty's Secret Service. And a dad? Come on. 007 does not change diapers. So there are stations in life that denote cool. If you're a Navy SEAL or a Ranger, cool. Crossing guard, not cool. International courier, cool. Mailman, not cool. Drummer in a jazz trio, cool. Drummer in the marching band, not cool. So in cool, context matters. But the context and culture can shift quickly and dramatically. There's a talk radio guy in LA. He's been around forever. He sounds a lot like Kermit the Frog, but he's been very successful. A few years ago, I heard him kind of getting his cool on, saying how he'd go to parties, and guys would learn he was that radio guy and say, "Oh, wow, I am too." And he'd ask, "Really, what station?" And they'd answer, "Well, I do a podcast." And this radio guy, who is one of the least cool people you could imagine, would sneer, as if he was Slash or Jeff Beck and some kid in a garage band suggested they jam sometime. That was the radio guy's attitude toward podcasters. Well, now, just a few years later, that radio guy would give his tongue to have even one-tenth the audience of Rogan or Carolla or Marone. So what was the gold standard and cool, terrestrial radio is no longer. and has lost most of its perceived cool. Much is the same fate of commercial TV. It was rarely cool, and its day has come and gone. So where does cool come from? Is it an attitude within someone that shines through in any situation? The answer is an emphatic yes. And if one is not cool, how does one get cool? There was a fantastic book from the early 80s about this. It was called The Catalog of Cool. It was a compendium of all things cool, edited by some dude named Gene Scolati. And it was this potpourri of cool stuff and people. Sunglasses, for instance. Few things can make a person look as cool or as stupid as the right or wrong sunglasses. Whenever someone wants to make their basset hound look even dumber, they slap a pair of shades on him and start taking pictures. The catalog's choice was Ray-Bans, either Wayfarers, that would be the Blues Brothers Risky Business style, or Ballarama Wraps. And while both styles do look cool, on the wrong shape face they look ridiculous. So the quest for cool can be risky, which is why all guys should bring either a chick or a gay friend along on every shopping excursion. You really need a second pair of fashion-forward eyes to help you look your best. An innately cool person can sometimes emit such a powerfully cool aura that they actually imbue stupid shit with their cool. Case in point, the movie Get Shorty with Travolta and Danny DeVito. If you've not seen it, Travolta plays this impossibly cool hoodlum named Chili Palmer, who comes to Hollywood, which, ironically, is home to the most uncool people on the planet. And the author of the book on which the movie is based, he knew this, and so the entire movie is really one long put-down of Hollywood. But when Chili comes to town, the only car rental available is a minivan. And as we know, minivans are for soccer moms and mini-men. Yet, Chili manages to make driving a minivan cool. And soon, all these ersatz Hollywood hipsters are copying him and are driving minivans too. I suppose that goes back to Tom Sawyer painting the fence. So things, no matter how cool they are, cannot make a person cool. We see these guys and girls all the time, right? The brand whores. Gotta have this car, or that phone, or shirt, or shoes, or watch, or live in that zip code. And they bust their asses to get all the right brands and right models within those brands. And they put them all together, but still, they are not cool. They simply come off as try-too-hards. That's not to say that having an appreciation for well-made cars or clothes is uncool. It's not. It's only uncool when people acquire them in hope of a rub-off effect. So maybe honesty and self-acceptance are the cornerstones of personal cool. Nerds can be cool if they own their nerdly qualities. Like Moby in that Bond video. Celebrity influencers define cool for marketers, don't they? But if cool comes from within, and one tries to apply it to oneself with stuff that some celebrity wears or endorses, that doesn't enhance cool, it diminishes it. Isn't buying a pair of Nikes because some NBA star wears them, or an Omega or Rolex because James Bond wears one, isn't that kind of childish and uncool? In New York back in the day, there was a hipster newspaper called the Village Voice. It really had its finger on the pulse of cool New York, what the best clubs were, where the hottest bands were playing, and so on. And for a long time, they had this photo feature called Fuck You Fashion. No, it didn't actually have Fuck You written on it, which is common now and kind of stupid. The Village Voice Fuck You Fashion feature was always some chick, sometimes smoking hot, sometimes just reasonably attractive, but what made them worthy of attention was the outfits they put together Outfits that flip the bird at all the fashion authorities. These chicks would mix plaids and polka dots and wear cowboy boots with tutus, maybe a Paul Revere hat over a knockoff Chanel suit, stunts like that. And somehow, they still looked fantastic. I get emails every now and then from guys wanting to raise their batting averages with women. And the question is, who do you want to look cool to? Yourself, your friends, or women? That said, appearances do count, so why reduce your cool quotient by looking like a dork before you even open your mouth and have to work your way back to the cool person you are in the first place? So we've got to strike this balance on the cool meter for a measure of cool that's right and comfortable, and then decide to whom you want to appear cool, because male and female perceptions of what makes a guy cool can be very far apart. Guys are about arms. Chicks are about abs. Lots of guys want to walk around looking like Arnold in Predator. Girls want them looking like Ryan Gosling in La La Land. Bit of a contrast there, huh? What to do? Well, let's go top to bottom and see. First, hair. If you got it, use it, flaunt it. Guys who get cheapo haircuts from beginners at haircut factories are making a huge mistake. Your hair is the one piece of clothing you have to wear every day. Why wear something that doesn't fit? Or let some amateur hack at it? If your hair is going, or gone, do not despair. Being follically challenged didn't put Jason Statham on the sidelines, or Bruce Willis, or Billy Zane, or Damon Wayans, the list goes on. So you want to update your wardrobe, or maybe do a makeover? Well, take a chick along with you to the store. Can't find one to accompany you? Do what chicks do. Get over to Pinterest or Instagram and see what guys they like are wearing. And you don't have to pay for the high-end brands. There are always knockoffs. Who gives a shit if that little polo player logo is accurate and authentic? Chicks are all about perception, and they're masters of deception themselves, aren't they? Nose jobs, boob jobs, leg-lengthening heels, push-up bras, fat-compressing Spanx, glue-on big-ass cheeks, collagen-inflated duck lips, rouged cheeks for fake cheekbones, glued-on nails, hair extensions, threaded eyebrows, bleached or veneered teeth, colored contact lenses. I'm sure I'm missing a lot here. So should it matter one damn bit if some windbreaker you wear is a knockoff? Another thing to remember is this. Be smart, buy the dummy. Those mannequins at the department store are not dressed by the stock boys or cashiers. They bring in well-paid pros to dress those dummies with the most chic magnetic combos of shirts, jackets, and pants. So usually, buying what the dummy wears is a good idea. Back to James Bond for a minute. I can't think of a single 007 movie where they don't have him in a tuxedo for at least one scene, usually in a casino. Only guys I've seen wearing a tux in a casino are the Mater D's. I'm pretty sure the tuxedo scenes are for the chicks. That's catnip to them. And it's astonishing how a decent-fitting tux can make almost any schmoof look like 007. Well, not exactly, but you get the idea. Women like and seek glamour. Why, you'd look like a kook heading for dinner at the local Italian joint in a tux. You might consider something a little snappier than the usual t-shirt and jeans. Speaking of shirts, sport shirts, as they say. Why do they call them sport shirts? I don't know. If you're going tie-less, get a button-down, especially if you're wearing a jacket over it. They look more together, and loose collars get sloppy. And the only fabric to wear is 100% cotton. And get a better grade like Pima or Sea Island. It's worth the extra dough. Petrochemical blends always look synthetic, and women deduct points for these poly blends. And forget the blends doing that saturation ad campaign online. Stretchy performance fabrics. Yeah, that's exactly the same material used in clown suits. Biggest apparel mistake people make of either sex? We never say gender here. Clothing that is too damn small. Doesn't matter if you're built like an Olympic gymnast, skin-tight outfits mostly are a mistake. Better to wear two sizes too big than even one size too small. What about patterns and colors? Well, less is more. I knew a lot of 7th Avenue garmentos back in New York. Dudes who could look at a suit from a block away and tell you the price within 10 bucks. Tell you if the seams were sewn or fused. Maybe even name the mill the wool came from. They were amazing. One guy gave me great advice on shirts. He said, if you wear a new shirt, and in the course of a day somebody says, hey, nice shirt, well, that's good. But if you hear that twice in the same day, you're not wearing that shirt. It's wearing you. Get rid of it. Besides preferring abs to biceps, most chicks are ass-obsessed with their own and ours. So those baggy jeans that look as if they could hold a week's worth of vegetables along with your butt and your junk, they are not your friend. Get rid of them and get something that fits. Doesn't have to be skinny jeans, tight as a sausage casing, but it should be form-fitting enough that she knows you're not packing a cheese wheel in your caboose. If the idea is to make women want to get your pants off you, why wear pants that make them want to puke in the first place? And among the most chick-repellent pants are cargo shorts. Nobody looks good in cargo shorts. Remember that Aussie TV animal guy, the crikey dude? Well, the stingray that stabbed him through the heart and killed him was sent by the universe to help stop the spread of cargo shorts. If you have a ton of crap to carry, put it in some kind of bag. And if that bag is a backpack, unless you're hiking the Rockies, keep the pack off your back. You see guys all the time wearing high-end suits, headed for a meeting, and they've got a pack on their back, like Dora the fucking Explorer. Not a good look for anyone over the age of 12. Did Don Draper wear a backpack? Fuck no. In fact, Don Draper's outfits were all timeless cool. Even though Roger Sterling was the far, far cooler character. Now that we're down to street level, let's talk footwear. Before you've checked out her rack, she's already scoped out your kicks, and if they're tacky, you're toast. I once went out with a very hot chick who sort of picked me up at a business event. She had blonde hair straight out of a bottle, perky headlights, and killer legs. So a few drinks into dinner, I flat out asked her what about me she found appealing. Cool shoes, she told me. Ironically, the shoes were not my choice. They were Italian-made, pointier and flimsier than I would have chosen, but they had been selected for me by my previous girlfriend. I silently thanked my ex and made a note to be more discriminating about my foot gear forevermore. Why do chicks care about the shoes you wear? Who gives a shit? Just know that they do and get cool ones. But if you prefer Earth shoes or Rockports or Doc Martens or, God forbid, Crocs or sandals with socks, by all means, wear them. And then cut your dick off. You won't be needing it. Once you get your wardrobe tuned up, how to improve your batting average? Well, resting bitch face has many male answers. Resting serial killer face or resting martyr. I was at a bar with a buddy who rarely got lucky. Some chick swiveled around on her stool, took a look at him and said, "You look like you've been persecuted." I nearly blew beer through my nose as I laughed. She was dead right. That's how he looked. So what kind of vibe is your face throwing? I knew a guy who became aware of that, so he decided to make a conscious effort to look more, approachable. He had his teeth straightened and bleached and walked around like somebody dosed him with Smilex. You could have said, "Hey, Chuck, Your mother is dead, and I just spritzed your drink with Ebola. And that Joker smile would not have left his face. It was fucking weird. I don't think he ever got laid. So we've done the crash course in sartorial splendor. What about that cool from within? Well, the foundation of it is two things. Confidence and humor. The movie stars who have never been surpassed had it. Redford, Newman, Gable, Bogart, those guys were all one of a kind. Had they never been movie stars, they still would have been the coolest guys at the office or factory or wherever. But who was the coolest movie star of all? You might be surprised. The catalog of cool crowned Robert Mitchum as a hipster saint. He oozed cool like he had dry ice sewn into the lining of his suits. I read a fantastic biography of him, and the author nailed Mitchum and the essence of timeless cool in one brilliant four-word title that summed up the Mitchum persona. Baby, I don't care. That's probably the greatest aphrodisiac there is. Men crave stone-titted bitches, and women find indifferent, even contemptuous males, a sexual challenge. The worst thing we can be is eager and/or needy. The most uncool, boring people in the world of either sex are the earnest ones, the zealots, the true believers, those who define themselves by some fucking cause, usually political. They are not only uncool, they are invariably insufferable. As the axiom goes, if you think there's a solution, you're part of the problem. The movie Dr. Zhivago, which accurately depicts commies as the clueless shitbags that they are, had a line by Rod Steiger that summarized the opposite of cool. In the scene, he's warning a beautiful young woman to stay away from a commie zealot, and he tells her this. There are two kinds of men, and only two. And that young man is one kind. He is high-minded. He is pure. He's the kind of man the world pretends to look up to and, in fact, despises. He is the kind of man who breeds unhappiness, particularly in women. Men and women with true cool derive it not from an outfit or some bling or set of wheels, but from a deep understanding from a relatively young age that life is one damn short ride and we'd best wring as much fun out of it as we can. Truly cool men and women often look as if they're in on some private joke. And that's because they are. They're inwardly laughing at the entire fucking world. They never have resting bitch face or resting ticking bomb face or concrete smile face. They look amused. Mitchum had that amused look. So did Jack Nicholson. And Sean Connery. He was going to stop by the casino in his tux, play some baccarat, drink champagne, and bed the girl. Then save the world. Cool people aren't just in movies. They're everywhere. But they all have those qualities in common. Confidence, humor, and an appreciation of the folly of life. Who are the least cool people on the planet? Well, just about any politician or activist. They're creeps, pretty much all of them. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Come hang with us this weekend at Sinner's Sunday, where we kick back with beer and barbecue and have a look at the spiritual realm. You know, this show has a Facebook group and a Twitter page. Just plug That Larry Show, not The Larry Show, but That Larry Show, into the search bar, and you will find it. We have a lot of fun there, so come join us. For more content and over 200 episodes, go to thatlarryshow.com. And while you're there, click a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. It's free. And if you want a deeper dive, click the Patreon button for access to dozens of special bonus episodes of a more personal nature. I just posted one about my date with a supermodel, 2 cops and 9 zombies. It's an amazing true story of romance, insanity, and hyperviolence, all on the same night at the same Chinese restaurant. Hey, I'll see you Sunday. And until then, take no shit.